Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue our series of looking at the prophets of the Old Testament, and today we look at the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel had his ministry kind of between the two exiles that happened to Babylon. Now, the first exile took place in 597 BC. At that time, the Babylonians had conquered most of the land of Judah, but Jerusalem still remained strong. And so they made a treaty where they allowed their leaders to be taken. They allowed Babylonian leaders to kind of lead the city, but it was not captured. And so that first exile took place. And so Ezekiel came to preach at that time, and most of the people there in Jerusalem were saying, God's going to deliver us from these Babylonians. Just you wait. It'll be a year or two, but God's not going to let Jerusalem fall. He's not going to let his temple be destroyed. God is going to come and deliver us soon and quickly. And it was Ezekiel who brought the bad news. No, he's not. Jerusalem's going to be conquered, the temple is going to be destroyed, and most of the people are going to be sent into exile. And sure enough, that's what happened in 586, that there was a small group that went into Babylon in 597, and then much of the population followed in 586, and that's when Jerusalem was captured and the temple was destroyed. Well, as part of what he prophesied, Ezekiel, like the other prophets, also did the signs and acted out his words. And so for Ezekiel, the first thing he did and God told him to do, he told him three different things. One, he said, is build a model, get a brick, build a model of Jerusalem, and then show it with siege works and show that this model is going to be under siege and will fall. Now, I don't know how intricate he was, you know, back to the future when the scientists built everything to scale and model. But the fact was, Jerusalem was going to fall. And as part of that, God said, I want you to take a metal plate and put it between you and the model. And that metal plate is like saying, God's no longer going to intervene on your behalf. There's a wall between Ezekiel, who represents God, and the city is going to fall. Now, the second thing that Ezekiel was told to do is lie on your side for 390 days. Yeah, what? I'm sure Ezekiel's, that was his react. What? Lie on my side for 390 days. So he, you know, went out into a public place. They actually had somebody tie him down with ropes for 390 days, lying on his side. And it was to represent 390 years of suffering on the part of the northern tribe of Israel. They had already been conquered by the Assyrians years before. They had already been suffering for a long time. And then God said, now turn on your other side, this time for only 40 days, which represent 40 years of punishment for Judah, the southern nation. So there he is out in public, this prophet, everybody going back and forth in front of him, tied down for well over a year, year and a half, as he's saying, this is God's message to you. You're going to be tied down. You are going to suffer punishment and go into exile, which they did. And so that was part of his message. The other thing is, some of you, and they're on the grocery store today, Ezekiel bread. Anybody buy or eat Ezekiel bread? Maybe a few people Ezekiel bread. You're not buying the original, genuine Ezekiel bread. And you don't want to buy the genuine Ezekiel bread because it's cooked over human dung. Yeah, we had to make it acceptable language there. And what God was saying by this is, to cook with dung makes the food unclean. Not just unclean. Obviously, that's not a good way to cook, but by the law, you were unclean. And so what Ezekiel is saying is you're going to be taken into exile where you're going to constantly be eating food that is unclean because you'll no longer be in your homeland. And so by lying on his side, by making the model of Jerusalem, by making the Ezekiel bread in an unclean fashion, all those were things that are saying you're going to be sent into exile and you're going to be punished for your unfaithfulness. And so you had Isaiah saying that, you had Jeremiah saying that, and now you had Ezekiel saying the same thing. It's hard for us to imagine how difficult it was for the people to think that God would abandon Jerusalem and particularly the temple. You know, when we live, we say, sure, God is not confined to our sanctuary here. God is spirit. God is wherever we're at. We can pray to him. God is present through his spirit. But in their day and time, the temple was where God was. In the Holy of Holies. That's God's right there. His spirit is there. And so it was inconceivable to them that the temple could be destroyed, because then you would destroy God. And how can one destroy God? And that's why the people were so certain, despite all the bad things that were happening, surely the temple will remain. It cannot fall. But God sent his prophets to say, yes, even the temple will be destroyed. And so that was one of those things that was kind of the final straw. And he told his prophets, tell the people, though, that I will go with them into exile. So even though the temple will be destroyed, even though there will be suffering, God's going to go with them into exile. Now, for Ezekiel, part of Ezekiel at the end of his book, he says, you're going to be brought back and the temple will be rebuilt. And that's a big part of Ezekiel, the rebuilding of the temple, because that's a sign that God will once again establish himself in his homeland for them. So Ezekiel prophesied during this time, and then during his ministry, all of this happened, and he was taken with the people then into Babylon. And so the second part of his prophecies are while they're now in Babylon. Now the temple has been destroyed. Now the first of his prophecies has already been fulfilled. And that's when we get to that familiar, really beloved passage of them dry bones. You know, that vision that was read earlier about the valley of the dry bones. And we're told that this valley of dry bones represents the people of Israel. They're now in exile and they're hopeless. You know, will we ever get out of here? Will things ever be good again? And they have that sense of just hopelessness. Dry bones, parched bones out on a desert floor. That's how miserable they are. Imagine if you were taken and whisked away to Iran, and all of a sudden you're in a nation where they don't worship Christianity, where you can't have your own worship, and there's the call from the mosques to Islam, there's different food, there's different everything. It would be miserable, and not to know, will I ever get back home again? And it's into that type of context that Ezekiel talks about this people that has lost their hope. And we don't have to go into exile to realize there are times when we feel hopeless as well. You know, sometimes that happens in grief, whether it's a spouse or a child, and you lose somebody that you love, and boy, that period of grief is like dry bones. All of a sudden, those things that you loved about that person, just being in the same room or the same house with them, you don't even have to see them or talk to them, there is that comfort level that somebody you love is with you. And when that's taken away, that's like dry bones. It's a difficult transition. And so there are times we can feel, we know what it means to be like dry bones and go through the periods of depression or hopelessness as the people did back in that day. Or unemployment. I think back, especially when the recession was at its highest a few years ago, and when you lost a job, you just didn't think, is there anything out there? And people would spend just weeks and months looking for a job. And that hopelessness, there's just nothing out there. And when you've been used to using your talents and using your gifts, and all of a sudden you've got too much time on your hands and too many rejections that keep coming back and being told no, financial pressures that amount, and all of a sudden you lose hope. Will it ever get better again? Or maybe it's a sense of abandonment. You know, I've talked with so many people who've gone through adoption. Even though they've had loving adopted parents, they can't get over that somehow they were abandoned by a birth parent. Or sometimes in a divorce, you're separated from one of your parents and you still want and need their love, whether or not it's there for you. And that sense of abandonment. Or for too many people who had parents that weren't loving and supporting but abusive, either verbally or physically, and that loss of hope. How come I didn't have the love that every child ought to have? And so there are times, I think, when you read that chapter and you hear the hopelessness of Israel, sometimes we can relate to that. It seems like there is no hope. But the scriptures always remind us, when it seems like there is no hope, God continues to be with us. Don't give up hope. And that's what he told the people there in Israel. Don't give up hope. And I just love the words. I mean, the imagery of this passage is so beautiful. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath. And God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And as I prophesied, the breath came into them and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. What an image of hope. You know, and to the people in that day and time, that's going to happen. God's going to breathe and your punishment will be over and there is hope for you. And the same thing is true for us. When we go through the valleys, there is hope for us. God breathes his spirit, and he gives us life once again. And as I was thinking about that image of living in exile, the thought occurred to me about, imagine if you were unemployed. But God said, in 3 months' time, on November 16th, I'm going to arrange that you get the job of your dreams. Now imagine the difference that would make. Even though you're still unemployed, even though you haven't yet received that job, if you knew for certain you were going to have that job, you wouldn't be depressed anymore. You'd say, 3 months, I'm going to get that job. God's word is good. Well, that's kind of what Ezekiel was to the people. You're still in exile. You haven't finished it yet. But those bones are going to take on life. There's going to be breath breathed back into them. You're going to go back home. I promise. And when God promises, God makes good on his promises. And that was the effect of Ezekiel. So Ezekiel started with all of this condemnation. You're going to suffer and long. But then once they were in exile, as God always does, don't give up hope. I'm going to come back. And of course, for us as Christians, we read this chapter and we say, you know, our hope is not returning to the nation of Israel. Our hope is resurrection. You know, St. Paul talks about, you know, this mortal body must put on immortality and this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And when the mortal puts on immortality and the perishable puts on the imperishable, then shall come to saying the passage that is written, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? That's our hope. Paul also goes on to say, you know, the sufferings of this world don't compare to the glory yet to be revealed. And so when we read dry bones having sinews and flesh and skin and breath, we know the day will come when God will grant us eternal life, when the sorrows of this world will pass and we will live with Him into eternity. So like so many of the prophecies of the Old Testament, there was an initial fulfillment and there was a later fulfillment. The initial fulfillment, the people went back home. The temple was rebuilt. Their hope was restored. The later fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. He has raised from the dead, and the day will come when all the dry bones will be raised in Him to life everlasting. So take hope. Jesus will lead you out of your valley because God makes good on His promises. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear God, Ezekiel had a hard life and a hard message, punishment, a long period of suffering. But eventually, the dry bones came to life. Lord, we experience those valleys in our life. Some people right now are in a valley of struggle. And so we pray, Lord, breathe your breath of life into hearts that have no hope. Remind each person here that your love and your presence is with them now, and that you will raise them up to life everlasting. Fill our lives with your hope. Amen.